republics are impermanent. In time, they perish. In most cases, stay under the sod. But the overthrown monarchy gets back in the saddle again by and by. The idea was, in other and familiar words, history repeats itself. Whatever has been the rule in history may be depended upon to remain the rule. Twain had a lot of beliefs about the repetitive nature of history. History, well, the father of history, Herodotus, said, very few things happen at the right time, and the rest do not happen at all. The conscientious historian will correct these defects. Today, I'm going to play some ideas and thoughts, maybe out of sequence, but I think they'll help us to consider what we're being led down the trail to consider as news. History can carry no successful competition with news in the matter of sharp interest. When the eyewitness sets down a narrative formed from extraordinary occurrence, which he has witnessed, that is news. That's the news form, and its interest is absolutely indestructible. Time can have no deteriorating effect upon its episode. We're going to talk about understanding where we've come from. Let's think about more than just our current situation. Let's think about the past, and let's consider how what we do today impregnates the future. So if my clips tend to be a little bit out of sequence, just bear with me a little bit, and let's see what this brings together. I'm going to count on my friend Terrence McKenna to introduce a couple of ideas about our condition now in our world. Can we play clip one, please, Sam? Hold it a second, Sam. Sam, can we start that at 5:29, please? Sorry.
Well, you're right. Education is the key. And, it's just my opinion on this, but history is to not know your history is to be amnesic. I mean, if you met a person who couldn't tell you where they were from 1970 to 80, you would define them as a fairly damaged person. But how many people do you meet who can tell you where Western civilization was between 900 and 1600? People don't know. So since they don't know, they can be fed any shit that is out there, and they don't know. They have no idea. So the way to gain power is to reclaim a command of history. And then you can, like, for instance, I remember when the Vietnam War was breaking out, and I was in school at the University of California at Berkeley, and the professor said, we all have to read Thucydides. We all have to read about the war against Sparta, the war against Syracuse, which was in Sicily, and how it destroyed Greek democracy, and how it allowed the ascendancy of the dictatorship of the 30. And why did this happen? Because the Athenian citizenry could not understand the war aims, because the Athenian leadership didn't understand clearly what the war aims were. All the mistakes of the Vietnam War were repeated in or occurred in this war, which was fought well before the year zero. But you tell most people to read Thucydides, and they just give you a strange look. Well, it's not because we want to be obscurantists or we want to carry on conversations like Cambridge intellectuals. It's because we want to know what to do with the future. And the first thing you do with the future is you don't make the stupid mistakes that were made in the past. this New Age thing amazes me. I mean, there are people who call themselves spiritual thinkers who think that the spiritual quest began with Madame Blavatsky, for crying out loud. Well, I've got news for you. People have been over this ground again and again and again. It always amazes me that people will give their loyalty to a guru who is obviously, you know, a grab tailor and a tax skate and a jerk. And you say to them, well, you know, have you read Plato? Or have you studied Nagarjuna? Do you know what Moses Maimonides has to say about this? Why do you follow this guy? He probably hasn't even read these people. Do you know that there have been some fairly bright people around over the last 6,000 or 7,000 years? And yeah, they don't have a white limousine, or they won't invite you up to their place in the Hamptons or something, but they're good. And all you have to do is go to the public library and read this stuff. And people don't want that. They want flash. This very sincere people come to my workshops, and I realize that they want me to tell them this stuff. And because I guess this is better than sitting home on a Saturday afternoon and reading. But Plato said it a lot better than I'm saying it. And so did a lot of other people. The civilization is a vast storehouse of wisdom. But if you don't avail yourself of it, then you have to figure it out based on what's happened since Nixon or something. And you're not going to get very far. You know, they trap you with that. I don't want to rave about this, but what I saw happen to my own university, I think that a conscious decision was made by the American establishment at the close of the 1960s. And what they said to themselves was, this idea of universal education and an educated citizenry, this we don't like. We see now what happens when you educate your citizens. They figure out the game, and they come to you with their plans for reform and how to make it better. So I was like among, at least at the University of California, I was among the last people to go through that university where the goal was to inform you about the nature of the enterprise called Western civilization. And after that, what they got into was this MBA, data entry, all this stuff. The universities became trade schools. And what they give you is video games. You know, they give you TV, video games, and they give you a skill. And you say, well, now you're a level 3 data enterer. We're gonna give you $35,000 a year, and please shut up about it. That's it. You've been brought inside, but we're not interested in your opinions. We're giving you a life, we're giving you a trade, and we'll be giving you some orders downstream, and by God, you better snap to when the moment comes. This has nothing to do with democracy. This is fascism, is what it is.
Yeah, this is fascism. We're not operating in a democracy. A phrase that's commonly contributed to Thomas Jefferson, but is a spurious quotation from what I understand, an educated citizenry is a vital requisite for a survival as a free people. Well, Mark Twain said, history requires a world of time and bitter hard work when your education is no further advanced than that of a cat, when you're merely stuffing yourself with a mixed up mess of empty names and random incidents and elusive dates, which no one teaches you how to interpret, and which uninterpreted pay you not a farthing's value for your waste of time. Twain understood that the education of history doesn't make sense unless it's explained on how it relates to our current frequency of events. Twain also believed that there was the law of periodical repetition. It says that everything which has happened once must happen again and again and again. And that's a conscious theme in a lot of religious text. I'd like to, organize this a little bit better, because there's some ideas that I'm trying to put together that will help us maybe understand how we can deal with our current events. And I'd like to go ahead and see if we have time to play the that second clip. Could you please, Sam?
That's very interesting, isn't it? That this association of nomadism to the inability to create architectonic space and therefore no writing. That a word is a structure, a written word is a structure, and therefore no nomad would ever do such a thing. Interesting. I think he's saying reading is not seeing. And those who read do not see. Even when they lift their eyes from their books, they carry the attitude of print into the world. They read, they attempt to read nature. And you can't read nature. You must look at nature. You must see nature. Certainly, I think in my own life, I was thinking about this a few months ago, and it surprised me. I'm trying to think of the books that really influenced my life, and I thought of, you know, Moby Dick and Huxley's Doors of Perception. But then when I really got down on it, I realized that a little tiny book Huxley wrote that my mother pushed on me when I was about 12 years old, called The Art of Seeing, probably shaped me as much as anything. And in there, it's a very McLuhan-esque rap without McLuhan-esque terminology. And he says the way to overcome, and I think this is very, very, very intelligent and simple advice, Huxley said the way to overcome the print bias, and God knows he was a Cambridge educated gentleman steeped in the traditions of English literacy and intellectualism, is freehand drawing. Draw. Train your eye. Draw nudes. Draw seashells. Draw insects and plants. Go into nature and train the eye to see, and you will cease to read the world. And readers are emotionally... A seeing person does not want to form a relationship with a reading person. You know, this conflict that we get between men and women and between people about which we call the head-heart conflict is really a reading-seeing conflict. It isn't a head and heart. It's that readers and seers cannot relate to each other's emotional life because they seem to come from such different worlds. So yeah, I think you have a very good point, and the permission to abstract from nature that print created is why we have such a terrible culture crisis, you know, because, just a kind of a trivial example, you know, it was said by Marshall McLuhan, strangely enough, that the Vietnam War could not be won the way an ordinary war is won because the citizenry of this country couldn't tolerate the sight of what war was, and that modern warfare became impossible when it could be televised into the living room, because war is something that you must read about. You must not see it. It must be this grand thing of the distant clash of armies and young heroes being created. But when it turns into amputation and maggots and screams of pain, the political fun goes out of it. So war is therefore a literary activity. And, you know, the one argument that can be made, I think, in television's favor is people don't like to see images of violence. But if we have to show so much violence on television, let it always be real. The violence is only indefensible when it's vicarious.
if it's real violence, you need to see it, because it's happening in a world for which you bear a partial moral responsibility. And I think warfare has been remade by media in that sense. A lot of politics has been remade, because imperial doings are usually ugly, brutal, and not something that you want to exhibit before the populace. And yet, modern media makes that very difficult to avoid. You know, you get the notion of public morality, or, you know, the people won't stand for this. We have to get this story out. The people won't stand for this. Well, now, this is a moral dimension inconceivable in medieval or Roman times. I mean, what would it mean to say the people won't stand for this? So there's an attempt to create, through the collectivity, a kind of community of moral judgment. The medium is the message, means that the medium is the thing which is making the difference. In all, every discussion you ever hear since the 60s about TV, for example, is it good, is it bad, terrible, wonderful, the discussion hinges around what's on TV. And people say, well, television is terrible, it just shows violence. And then somebody else says, no, television is wonderful, those nature shows and news from far away and masterpiece theater. This is a stupid argument. What McLuhan meant by the media is the message is he meant that it doesn't matter what you put on TV. TV is TV. It has an intrinsic nature. And whether you're showing National Geographic specials or slasher movies, TV will do what it does. It has certain qualities, just like driving a car or skiing. Certain muscles are going to be exercised, certain perceptual systems enhanced, others suppressed. And it's very hard for us to understand this because we have accepted this media so thoroughly into our life. But in fact, it is shaping our value systems in ways that are very hard for us to suspect or even detect. I mean, television, for example, it's a drug. It has a series of measurable physiological parameters that are as intrinsically its signature as the parameters of heroin are its signature. I mean, you sit somebody down in front of a TV set and turn it on, 20 minutes later come back, sample their blood pressure, their eye movement rate, blood is pooling in their rear end, their breathing takes on a certain quality, the stare reflex sets in. I mean, they are thoroughly zoned on a drug. And
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
The effective frequency is the number of times a person must be exposed to an advertising message before a response is made and before exposure is considered wasteful. The subject of effective frequency is quite controversial. Many people have their own definition on what this word means, or these words mean. There's also numerous studies with their own theories or models as to what the correct number is for effective frequency. Most people that are engaged in the vision of the reader or the television viewer have been exposed to a frequency of ideas so that they've seen the same repetition, no matter whether it be true or not, or whether you believe it or not. You've been exposed to it to the point where we all recognize that message. In the early days, it was the frequency of advertising or the frequency of a visual image. Television is a media that it's an attempt to confabulate a two-dimensional world with the real world that we live in. People read the television and assume that shared experience with other people that read the television. They share their experience from television at their workplace. When two people gather at the water cooler after a Sunday's television of sports, the conversation is not about families or not about important things in our life. It's about how about them Cowboys, or how about this other sports team, or how about our college that won this. We've become a society that doesn't really understand what's happening. I'd like to open the phone lines today, if anybody would be willing to jump in on this conversation. Our number here at the network is 1-800-313-9443. I think there's a couple of numbers now that you can reach us at. You can get us at Facebook for sure. Today is January the 13th, Saturday, 2018. I need to date this conversation here that I'm having with you. Live radio sometimes is an event for me. I try to put as much information in the 44 minutes I have to relay this, or more like 45 minutes. So if you'd like to call in and contribute, let's try to stay on topic. What we're talking about is this I'm not really sure what you could call this, the effective frequency of information, how we're being channeled and how we're creating an existence that doesn't really exist other than what the media has put forth. Meaning of some advertising terms is pretty interesting. Advertising glossary defines effective frequency as exposures to an advertising message required to achieve effective communication, generally expressed as a range below which the exposure is inadequate and above which the exposure is considered wastage. I know that sometimes ideas on the television will march forward for weeks, and then just as easily as it came, it was gone too. Maybe that's because the effectiveness of the message has turned to wasteful. Business Directory defines it as advertising the theory that a consumer has to be exposed to an ad at least 3 times within a purchase cycle. And now we're getting into cycles. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Effective frequency can mean that a single advertising exposure is able to influence the purchase of a brand. However, as experienced advertising people know, the phrase was really coined to communicate the idea that there must be enough concentration of media weight to cross a threshold. Repetition was considered necessary, and there had to be enough of it within the period before a consumer buys a product or influence his or her choice of brand. That's John Philip Jones. I'd like to bring on William from Montana. Let's bring this up to a higher caliber. William, are you still there?
Yes. Hello, Captain.
Yeah. What do you think? Do you think that the media is pushing an idea, and that they market, they see how far they can go with it, and they switch ideas, and it's a constant barrage, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you know, I remembered when you were talking about effective frequency. I remembered a time that I spent with Terrence McKenna up in the mountains, Oregon mountains. He was giving a talk up there, a workshop. And, you know, basically, one person stood up, a somewhat spaced out little hippie guy stood up, and Terrence was always very gracious to anybody. And he stood up, and he said, I wanted to ask, how often should you take psychedelics to get enlightened? And Terrence, in talking about effective frequency, he said that depends on how hard you are grasping and how reluctant you are to give up your attachment to your imaginary self. And, of course, wow. This sort of went over this poor kid's head.
I think it went over mine.
Yeah, basically, he said, you know, if it, you know, the effective frequency of an advertisement is overcoming the resistance of the person listening to the ad to buy something they don't really need. And he said, you know, when this guy asked how many times, you know, he was assuming that Terrence was going to come back and say, oh, man, I take it every day. When if you knew Terrence treated psychedelics as a sacrament. He didn't think that repeating without also digesting the experience was going to do much good. And that night at a smaller gathering, he said, the one thing that psychedelics has taught me is that I do not exist. And that was, you know, that has been an amazing revelation and an amazing sense, source of peace. You know, I, this imaginary self, this thing that always gets in the way, you know, the thinking thing that's always like putting overlays on the experience of reality, it always gets in the way. And when I look very carefully at these experiences that I have, the one thing that starts becoming evident is I don't really exist. Now, of course, you know, if you stick a pin in somebody, you know, they're going to yell. So there's one aspect of that is, well, they kind of do exist. But this image of ourself that gets us into a lot of trouble, and that's what, you know, Huxley was saying when he was talking about how you have to substitute not reading reality but seeing it. And if you're reading it, you're caught in your head. You have some idea that you're trying to reinterpret this reality to your own use, and it just gets totally confusing, you know. And if you can relinquish your grasping to this thing that we all feel, that we have like this solid self, this unchanging self that experiences the realities around us, if you can relinquish that grip, you start being able to see things instead of trying to put your thinking patterns on the reality around you.
Whoa. You know, I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say today.
We've got to understand. I'm always there for you, Captain Fred.
You know, Mark Twain also believed that people communicate through what he called mental telegraphy instead of mental telepathy, and I think you and I have that quite a bit often. But sure. You know, it's strange that we should have this conglomerate today. We got another call from Mike in Kentucky, and I really treasure his wisdom that he brings to a phone conversation. And William, would you mind us bringing him into this conversation?
Oh, no. That'd be wonderful. I've heard him before, and I appreciate his comments.
Mike, well, now that we've said this about you, come on here. Are you still there?
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
Sorry, I got into a conversation there. And distracted myself. Yeah, you know, you were talking about advertising. You were talking about several things there. Before the break, I was provoked to call in for some reason, and now I can't remember what it was.
Well, we were just bragging about how like concise you are.
Well, four or five things I've got going at once here. I just discovered that Sea Cleaner, if you know about that program, was compromised back in September by hackers or somebody. So I'm trying to just an octopus now that I have to go out and retrieve all the tentacles because I've installed that on a lot of people's computers and over the last several years, and it was very useful because you could reboot, for instance, like an XP or a Windows 7 computer. You could shut it down and reboot it in less than 2 minutes after you got rid of thousands or a couple thousand, up to 1,800 to 2,000 entries in the registry, and sometimes up to 2 gigabytes of junk that accumulates on people's computers from all the cookies and everything. So now they're, you know, you go to some of these web pages and they're trying to mine Bitcoin in the background and all kinds of junk going on. So,
well, that's part of what we're talking about to get today is that how all this information is creates a self that really we don't understand anymore.
Well, and then you so many people have compromised their health, so their capacity is diminished because they're exposed to antibiotics and fluoride, which also messes with your gut bacteria, so their gut instincts and their susceptibility to subliminal advertising, you were trying to tie it all together here, the susceptibility they are to impulsive behavior. And, you know, the old adage that 62,000 repetitions makes one truth, repetition is not as needed anymore. People are impulsive. If you have a crafty, you know, advertisement that can get them with one or two hits, they'll act on it, you know. Impulsively.
That's a good point. You know, with the imbalance of our brain chemistries because of all the different substances that we consume, maybe it's not necessary for repetition anymore. Maybe the population can believe, once we're into this matrix of belief, maybe it only takes one or two times to get us moving the proper direction that they want us.
Well, what's the Bible talk about? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and tossed about by every wind of doctrine? Now, this happens with advertising.
Yeah,
William?
Yeah, another thing is that, you know, this whole, you don't even have to go to TV, because if you look at our children, walking around with one hand, the screen that never leaves them, you know, they're looking in the screen. And they're being conditioned to, you know, just become a nervous wreck looking for likes. You know, they're not even aware of their self. They're not aware of their history. They're not aware of their families. They're just trying to, you know, they're feeling anxious and stressed out, looking for likes. And if you match that, and once you condition them to feel that way, all you have to do is convince them that people will like them if they, you know, fill in the blank. Buy this, do this, say this. Oh. And so it's once you take over their minds and take over their consciousness, and make them dependent, it's very easy to feed them, you know, what they think they need.
Are we chipping at an iceberg with an ice pick here, guys? Or
You know, I mean, that's why Terrence felt that you needed to use some of this psychedelic dynamite to break through this stuff, because, you know, he came from a very enlightened family, you know, a very literate family. And even he said he had just an enormous amount of conditioning to overcome before he could actually just see the things that are before his face.
Mike?
You're talking about years of habits that people have to break now. We're a decade into this smartphone revolution, I guess you could say, and it's because they've known, I think, from a long time that even with text messaging and the internet and video games, that this computer stuff that's been going on since probably the early 80s, if you consider things like Atari and Coleco and some of the early brands of home video games, Commodore, it created a social autism where teenagers were sucked out of social interaction at a time when they needed to learn to handle people that are toxic and difficult. Now, with social media, people just block people that they don't like, and they don't interact with anybody except those that are going to tell them what they want to hear.
Somebody told me that Mark Zuckerberg has changed the algorithms on Facebook to take out some of the commercial aspects of it and to try to gear more towards the family. Now, what has anybody heard anything about that?
If you believe that, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Well, and the cat for that has been out of the bag for a long time. Unless you pay, there was a guy on Federal Jack confirmed it to me, my suspicion, several years ago. He had developed a page that had 75,000 likes or something crazy, and it cost him like $75 to promote or boost a post. And when you did that, they gave you a little report. It was like they were sort of trying to be honest about it. But according to their assessments, a normal post in your Facebook wall, unless some reason or another they manipulate it to go viral, you're never going to reach more than about 6%, maybe 16% of your, quote, friends in a organic post. And that's the active people that are on there within 3 days. So Facebook has created this perception amongst people that, you know, everybody else must have saw this because it was on Facebook. I've got told that so many times. Well, it was in the newspaper. It was on Facebook. How come you don't know about it? And what they don't realize, they can't conceptualize, is that there's just, it's like confetti being thrown out a window. You can't read every one of those little pieces of paper that's thrown out of a window. So
yeah, you wouldn't even want to.
No, but Facebook filters that for people. And you only get the stuff that you have either, they have a feature called See First, and that does not even work for me. I've proven that. I should have screenshotted a bunch of it. But over the last 7 years, I read about all the shenanigans going on with MySpace. Facebook is on steroids with any of the crap that was going on MySpace. They just had a video that came out this week about shadow banning on Twitter. You think that's not also going on Facebook and YouTube and probably what's going on in MySpace? The shadow banning crap is letting people think that they're reaching people, but they're not.
How does that work?
You're spilling your beans out there and giving them all this information about what you like, what you're interested in, who you're related to, and that sort of stuff, and you get almost nothing out of it. And now they're talking about even if you pay to promote a business, they're going to curb that for what people see. It's part of the Make Facebook Fun Again movement. Make Facebook fun again. Well, it's not fun because if you do anything to color outside their lines, and who knows what their rules and their editorial policy is right now, you get quashed. And that includes offering to sell a dog or, of course, forget firearms for several years. You can't, unless you're a licensed gun dealer, and I think they're probably going to ban even licensed gun dealers and pawn shop from advertising their stuff for sale. I wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, that's my take on it, and it's been 2 cents.
Well, shadow banning has been going on for quite a long time, and it hasn't hasn't also just been involved with the computer. It's been involved in all kinds of advertising. And the fact that a market can't be reached unless you pay the or pay to play. That's a government.
Well, General Motors found out that they were getting scammed because they were doing a pay-per-click advertising with Facebook. And I think they strategically waited until right before the initial public offering of Facebook stock before they announced that they were dropping Facebook. They probably put options on it or something, trying to keep the stock price from being overinflated. But they found out that fully 50% of their pay-per-click advertisements were worms or crawlers that were clicking to find out where links go. So fully 50% of the link of their pay-per-clicks that they were paying for was wasted on robotic programs, and they dropped Facebook like a hot rock right before the initial public offering. And there's no way for them to prevent that because, you know, people write these programs that go through their Facebook interface with fake accounts, you know, the Air Force, Mossad, whoever. They can do this as well as commercial entities. So there's just Facebook is polluted with all this fake stuff going on from robotic programs.
You know, Mike, you brought up a point about that. What's the frequency necessary for convincing somebody of something? And William and I have discussed brain chemistry and how it's being affected by sleep, by so many different variables. You know, I hadn't even really considered that. There's a real strong possibility that they don't need too much reinforcement to convince us of an idea. But we'll be back
in a few
minutes.
They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, they are. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is Captain Fred. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to Angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website Angioprim.com.
One of the most admirable things about history is that almost as a rule, we get as much information out of what it does not say as what we get out of what it does say. Mike and William, got one more caller. Let's see if we got 4 minutes left. Let's see if we can close this thing out. Chris in Florida, come on board, buddy.
Yeah, two things that the last caller mentioned, Sea Cleaner being hacked. Well, there's another very good free system cleaner called Glary Utilities that has a lot of functions that Sea Cleaner doesn't have, but even though Sea Cleaner has a few capabilities that Glary Utilities doesn't have, so that's why I like to use both up until just learning that Sea Cleaner had been hacked. Now, when it comes to a fake book not working properly, you know, the shadow banning, I'm finding that on a lot of my friends' posts or other people's posts, I'm being blocked. You know, increasingly, Facebook is blocking my posts regardless of whether they include links. And most posts of mine include links often to uncontroversial sites and even posts that are nothing more than a link to Facebook itself, like a pre-approved post on Facebook to an event or a note or a photo or a video that Facebook has allowed already, but claiming that these are spam. And I go back and ask me to whether I would like to mark them as not spam, and I do, and it still does not allow them. And often, after a post, only sometimes does Facebook give that notification that it your quote-unquote, your comment on so-and-so's post was marked as spam, review the comment, end quote. So in this case, only sometimes are both the friends and I allowed to manually approve the post by marking it as not spam, but often Facebook doesn't allow such posts at all without any notification. And often Facebook blocks posts without any notification at all, so it requires these kinds of posts to be split into two or more parts in order to find the objectionable part and then edit it until Facebook approves it, if you're lucky. So
This is part of what we've been talking about. We're being tooled. We're being tooled by Facebook, by the media. We're being bum-rushed into doing things that we wouldn't. Let's wake up. Mike, I think that we can be schmucks. We can be schmucks if we want to continue doing this. But we can try to do better, can't we?
Yeah, well, I would suggest to go over to other social media.
I think we've burned up our hour. Chris, I hate to stop you right here. Next week, we've got one more hour in a week, but this is going to be about it for us. William in Montana, I sure do appreciate you calling, and you too, Mike and Chris. Your thoughts are very valuable, and there's nothing that we can get unless we try to understand. This is Captain Fred. We'll be back next week.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.